the fall veto session. And when it comes to the sale of the Hardin County Work Camp, that's not typically the type of business that is taken care of in the fall veto session.
That's exactly right, Tom. And I really, again, I want to say thank you to Senator Culleton for letting us push this forward in the veto session, because it was not a vetoed bill. And he asked me, he said, Senator, the urgency of this moving this through. I said, well, President Culleton, they want to get rolling on this. They have a lot of cleanup they need to do, and just like to get out in front of it. And if we wait till spring session, well, you never know what can happen in spring session or when the bill could be called. So I really appreciate that, to be able to move it during veto. It passed both the House and Senate, so it's being sent to the governor's desk for his signature. So really excited about repurposing the Hardin County Work Camp from the Department of Corrections to the County of Hardin to open up a detention center. It'll actually be a tri-county detention center, but be under the direction of Hardin County. So it's good to get this empty facility back in operation, Tom.
I think you might have set a record or something on getting something done in the government this fast.
Well, again, it's one of those things. I've really worked hard, as you all know, in my first 2 years to develop relationships with my colleagues, and especially my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. And when I went to them and I said, talked about how important this was for my district, and I don't see any reason to wait. Hardin County is excited about taking this over and creating some jobs and some opportunity and some revenue opportunities, which, we all know they desperately need. We all need in Southern Illinois. So we was able to move it right through, and I really appreciate that immensely.
So the governor expected to sign it. Do you know when?
I don't. It's being sent to his desk, so I will hopefully be finding out this week, actually, when he plans to sign it and how he wants to sign it and what the process will be. But I'm very optimistic he'll sign the bill.
And once that signature is on there, the ink is dry, they're going to get busy pretty quickly. They pay $1 symbolically, we'll call it for nothing else, the state of Illinois, and then they're ready to roll?
They are ready to roll, Tom. They're ready to roll. They're ready to get in there and start cleaning up. And the facility is actually still in pretty good shape. We had, the issue with the kitchen fire that wasn't repaired, and, we have that issue. And it's going to be a process. This is not going to happen overnight, but it's exciting news for Hardin County. It's exciting news for Southern Illinois to get this facility reopened and repurposed. So, and I want to say thank you to Sheriff Fricker and Hardin County for his initiative, and his staff, and the Hardin County Commissioners for taking this initiative to create this opportunity for their county and Southern Illinois. So I really appreciate them.
One of the emphases you've had since you've been in office is economic development, and you have been doing as much work as you can and as much help as you can provide to Carroll. What's the latest there? Now, I know that there's a businessman who is going to be, I think, four or five locations into a single building, four or five businesses. We know that's a bit of good news down there. What else do we have?
Well, we have the terminal project that we're working on. I actually had a meeting in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago with some engineers and architects out of Orlando, Florida, that flew in, really interested in the project. There's no question the momentum that's created from this terminal project has created the opportunity for business development. And when I had the opportunity to meet the investor out of Aurora, Colorado, almost close to a year ago, and we've been talking continuously and meeting in Carroll continuously, and he's done quite well, and he also has a philanthropic side to him, and wants to come in and help make a difference in that community. So he is bringing in four new businesses. He's purchased two old school buildings that he's gone to repurpose these school buildings. One's going to be a Family First Resource Center for homeless children. He's bought some property. He's actually bought a home in Carroll for him to have a location for him to stay or his colleagues to stay when they come in. And he's bought some empty lots, and he's going to start putting some efficiency Section 8 housing in. So. And this is all, Tom, I believe it's all related to all the momentum that we've created, and actually nationwide. When we have an investor from Colorado that he does have some other investment in Illinois, so he's been well aware of what's going on. And now we have, and now just because of this, we've had other investors, other contractors that have contacted me wanting to visit Carroll and look at some opportunities. So what I'm going to do, Tom, is really bring all these people together, get them all in one table, get them all in one room, so everyone can discuss what their plans are to make sure everyone's on the same page and they're not stepping on anyone else's toes. And because a lot of these people can really work together on this incentive.
All right, this is the Horizon Development Group, a Mexican restaurant, a coffee shop, a laundromat, a dry cleaner, and an indoor children's play center, and, of course, some of the other items that I was unaware of that the senator just mentioned as well. You know, when it comes to economic development, this is one of the biggest things that Illinois is going to be looking at. But here's the thing, Senator, when you've got a gubernatorial candidate who ran on raising taxes, now we've talked about the psychological ramifications. When you talk about progressive taxes, the assumption is that the other guy is going to be paying the taxes. I think that's part of really when it comes, well, rich people are going to pay more. I'm not rich. Well, define rich, because it medium incomes in Southern Illinois and Northern Illinois are two different items altogether. So people will be watching that. But here's the reason why I bring this up. When it comes to bringing people to the state of Illinois, when you've got the kind of debt, pension debt, and state financial issues that we do, what do you? And it's interesting because tomorrow morning I'm going to ask the same question. Economic Development Director Steve Mitchell is going to be joining us. How do you walk up to somebody, whether it's Horizon Developer Group, and say, we need you in Illinois? And they say, well, somebody's got to pay the pension things. You guys ran up the bill. Now you want me to come here, open a business to help pay this off. I mean, it's a scary and uncertain thing for somebody who's starting a business. How do you overcome that when it comes to economic development?
That's a great point, Tom, and you're so right, because we have been so unfriendly with our business climate in Illinois. It is getting better. I'm very optimistic. We sold, $6 billion in bonds to help pay down the debt, so we're saving quite a bit of money on interest there, but obviously we still have that debt. And then, as you alluded to, our pension debt. So the thing that I do, Tom, is when people come in and they know this, they're very intelligent people, and they know what's going on in the state of Illinois, but they see promise, they see hope, they see opportunity down the road, and we are chipping away at it. It's going to be a long process. There's no question we have to continue to become more business competitive and with our property taxes and our income taxes. So I'm not going to be in favor of a progressive tax. Well, I should say, the thing of it is these numbers have not been presented to us. So if it's solely a tax on the rich, I'll take a good strong look at it. But if it's going to tax the middle class, then absolutely not. So until those numbers are presented to us and presented to the General Assembly, that we can make a good sound business decision, then it's hard to really be a proponent of it.
When it comes to marijuana, recreational, and gambling expansion, when it comes to this, I struggle because, I think marijuana should probably be decriminalized at the very least. And if it, everybody else is doing it, it's kind of hard to hold the line against it. I mean, and what's weird is, I've got a friend of mine literally on a regular basis chews me out going, what part of gambling is legal in the state of Illinois don't you understand? And I'm like, I'm just always hinky about where the money goes. Sometimes it leaves the community, never to come back. But on the other hand, I've walked through Metropolis, and the only place that I know of that's got paved alleys. The benefits, that balancing act on the right thing to do is really difficult, really difficult.
That's exactly right. And the thing of it is, any new form of revenue, especially if it comes to any form of a tax, or if it comes to recreational marijuana, if this were to come to fruition or whatever it may be, has to be restricted. We all saw what happened with the lottery proceeds. It was due to go to education. But guess what they did with the revenues that were originally going to education? They took that out and replaced it with a lottery proceeds. So it was somewhat of a wash. And so, any form of development such as this or progression with new revenues, I think solely has to be restricted, not just restricted as a cost shift. It has to be designated in conjunction with. And there's no question if we can start continue to put more money into our education, then I think we'll see, start seeing our property taxes decline, because we all know that 65% of our property tax bill goes to education. So, we'll see how it all unfolds. I think it's going to be a topic in the spring legislative session when we inaugurate the 101st General Assembly. So, I'm anxious to get in there and have this conversation and see where things go.
But, when it comes to what we are seeing drive property taxes up in the areas that I'm involved with right now, the mayors that I've talked to, they say it's pensions, not education, pension.
Right. That's true. And that's another avenue. I think, you know, especially some of our local municipalities, when they do create new new revenues, let's just say off of gaming. You know, one thing that Mayor Butler did when video gaming became legal, he said, obviously, he struggled with that, as you all know. But, you know, what he decided to do when it did become legal and where Marion was able to go with video gaming, he restricted all those funds toward the pension debt, his pension debt, which that, I thought that was an excellent idea. And I think kudos to Mayor Butler for being proactive in that initiative. So, it brings in a lot of money, these municipalities, and those funds need to be restricted for purpose, especially for pensions.
And truth be known, I've talked to many business people to say that's the difference between them living and dying month to month. Smaller right. businesses exactly. with gambling, they say, no, that's how we make the end of the month. Don't underestimate that little bit of money, which seems a little bit to you is us. That's the gravy that gets us from one month to month. And I've had more than one business owner say that point blank. That's how I get by. Mm-hmm. So,
all right.
So state of Illinois, really right now, after the fall veto session, the Senate canceled their last Thursday session. You'll be returning the 1st of January, I think around the 9th or 8th. There's some inaugurations, and then I believe or swearing ins, and then the inauguration, I think, on January 14th for the governor.
Correct. That's correct.
So
Yes, ready to get back up there and get back to work. I'm really excited about 2019, Tom. I really am. I know it's my job to be, but I'm really encouraged. I really feel like this new administration is going to do everything they can to be bipartisan. You've seen. His transition team, Governor Pritzker appointed former Governor Jim Edgar to the transition team. He appointed former Senate Leader Christine Redonio to the Budgetary Committee. So I think that really shows a good signal that he's reaching out, across party lines to bring everyone in together. So I really appreciate that. I think that's a good signal, and I'm anxious to see where it goes from here. But I solely appreciate his initiatives on that.
Hey, before I let you go, it was interesting because I was having a meeting last week, and Karen, who is our receptionist, gatekeeper here at River Radio, came back into the office, and she, it was the end of the month, and she says, this is the best coat collection that we've had at the studios with the number of people who dropped off coats for the Fowler Bond and Coats for Kids Foundation. This involves a lot more than coats, as you and I have talked about in the past. But Karen says, best year we've had so far. We're very pleased to hear that, too. And I know there's a bunch of kids and moms and dads and yourself that are happy to hear that as well.
Oh, my goodness, Tom, yes. And I can't say thank you enough to you all at River Radio for helping us out. And obviously, Auto Credit of Southern Illinois for taking this initiative on. Our Clothes for Kids program, one of the most expensive items we buy. And as we've talked about before, these kids all get a brand new wardrobe for school. We're now helping over 600 kids a year in 18 Southern Illinois counties, just from a childhood memory that I had 16 years ago. But, one of the most expensive things we have to purchase is a coat. So when we have organizations that step up and want to have a coat drive for us, that speaks volumes for us. And that's one thing that we're receiving a lot of, calls about, for coats as it continues to get colder. So I really appreciate the Southern Illinois for stepping up for the Fowler Bond Foundation, Clothes for Southern Illinois Kids. It's just been an incredible mission that God's put upon us to accomplish. And, these kids, most of these kids are going to school now side by side with some of the most privileged with brand new clothes on, Tom. So it's been one of the most exciting things I've ever done in my life to be able to start this little initiative when really all I wanted to do was help five or six kids a year in the elementary school where my memory had occurred. Have a brand new wardrobe for school that otherwise wouldn't. And now here we are 16 years later in 18 counties and helping hundreds upon hundreds of children. It's only because of the giving power and of the people that we have in Southern Illinois. So God bless everyone for stepping up and helping us out. And I can't say thank you enough for everyone's assistance in helping these children.